The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the program Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. It is so great to have you along, and it is my joy each and every day at this time to bring you a guest, somebody from the community that is doing something for the glory of God and bringing an impact with the gospel into our area or beyond. And today, this guy fits the bill. I've got Scott Chevalier with me here today. He is the Director of Strategic Development at the Hope Center, and that is really based in Claremont. Scott, it is great to have you here.
Well, thank you for letting us be here today. I am so excited to share the vision and what God's doing in our lives.
Well, it is great to have another radio guy with me here today. And found out that you have a past in radio.
Absolutely. Way back to my college days. Still love any opportunity to get on the radio and be with people and share a vision. So this is a great opportunity, and thank you.
Well, tell me, first of all, we'll hear more about that in a moment, but where did you grow up? How did you come to know the Lord?
So I grew up in Ohio, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at age 17. And of all things, it was at a youth revival. Not many youth revivals back in 1983, but at our church, we actually had a youth revival, and I had been in church, but I had never been a part of God's kingdom. I had kind of watched from as a spectator. And almost some points as a young person growing up with a little bit of disbelief, wondering what was true, what was valuable. And I remember that night very specifically going up front, even without music, without an altar call, feeling the Holy Spirit leading me, and went to a point of conversion and really committed my life to Christ at age 17. And from that point on, I tell people all the time, my life really changed. It wasn't just an emotional at the end of the service, I feel bad. It was a true conversion where I saw that God was calling me, and I was not going to run anymore.
Wow. You know, that's the way it should be, right? I mean, that's the way it is intended. Basically, repentance is a 180. It's going the opposite direction that you were going before, and that's what happened to you.
Absolutely. I definitely stopped where I was at, where I was headed, and went in a different direction.
Yeah, just like Paul.
Absolutely.
That's what happened to him in the Bible. And so you're in Ohio. Did you stay in that area beyond that?
I did. I stayed in Ohio and graduated high school out of Beaver Creek, Ohio, just outside of Dayton, and went to a small Christian college in Mount Vernon, Ohio, just northeast of Columbus, called Mount Vernon Nazarene College. And studied at first computer science, and that was before computer science where it is today, and it was kind of boring to me. And so I struggled to know why I was doing that. I was good at math and science in high school, thought that would be a good marriage, but God had different plans for me. And so I stayed in Ohio until my junior year of college.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were growing up in Ohio all those days, this is something I've never asked this question of anybody before, but I'm going to ask it of you. Did you, the Soapbox Derby that they had up there, was that a big deal when you were up in that area?
It was, but it wasn't for me. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah?
For me, growing up in Ohio, it was all about the Buckeyes.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
I figured it would be a sorry thing today.
But Big Ten, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
That works. And I was a Big Ten guy when I was growing up, but moving to Florida, I loved Billy Donovan at the Gators early on, and then we ended up moving to Gainesville.
Wow.
Lived there for 17 years, a serious Gator dad I am, and that's my school now. So we'll just leave the Buckeyes come in on the shelf right there and not do much more with that.
I hear you. I hear that quite often, and I'm good with that. I can lay it aside.
And you never got in one of those Soapbox vehicles to those.
I didn't.
Growing up. And living next to Ohio, Indiana, where I'm from, that was something that caught my fancy as a young guy, and I thought, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. What an opportunity for all those folks involved in that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun. Well, that was my one time to ask the question. Might be my last time ever to ask that question. But, Scott, I got to ask you of that.
Absolutely.
That's great. So move us on from Ohio in your story.
Yeah, so my junior year of college, I took a group of students to Nashville, Tennessee for a flag football tournament, and I was playing behind a a middle school there in Nashville, and a girl who was from the church I was working with in Ohio brought her roommate to meet me. And they say love at first sight sometimes, I guess. But I met Valerie, and I was covered in mud from my head to my toe.
Oh, made
literally
a great first impression.
Yeah, I made a great first impression. Yeah. And something must have happened in her heart, too, because something clicked. I went back to my college in Ohio, and I was restless. I was stirred that I needed to come back to Nashville and to meet her again. And so I did. I loaded up. I had never been to Nashville, Tennessee, on a trip. And so it was unique for me to go past Kentucky, make our way to Nashville, and met her one weekend. We dated 6 or 7 times after that. And I transferred schools 2 months later.
That's serious. And that's moving quickly.
We did. And, and it was an amazing time. Now we've been married 33 years.
Oh, wonderful.
And Val is my best friend. We worked together. God gifted us uniquely and put us together for a unique calling in our lives. And every day that has continued from 33 years ago in a flag football field.
Isn't that something?
Pretty amazing.
Well, I'm glad you can continue to do it and do it for as long as you can.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Because I found out that if you don't use it, you lose it. And boy, that's really a lot of fun. And what a great story, too. My goodness. Love at first sight, maybe second sight for sure. And there you go. It's a marriage made in heaven, as they say. So, you know, that just living in Nashville, that is one of my favorite areas in the entire world. Are you a musician, too?
I do play guitar. I'm more of a vocalist than I am an instrumentalist. I played trumpet in high school and college. So moving to a guitar was just something I wanted to do because it was fun. But
Everybody in Nashville plays guitar, right?
Everybody's a songwriter in Nashville.
Yeah.
So whether they're waiting your table or standing on a stage, they're probably writing a song for somebody to hear.
Yeah.
So music was always been and has always been and still is a big part of my life.
That's wonderful. And, you know, that area is, you're right when you say that it's full of musicians and wannabe musicians and wannabe recording artists. And there was the line years ago, I had an opportunity when I was a kid to travel full time for a Nashville band. And I was sure I was going to do it. And then I prayed about it. And the Lord would not let me do it. And 6 months later, that band broke up. And they were a well-known Christian band that traveled the nation. They broke up. I would have been one more guy in Nashville looking for my next gig.
Yep.
And that's just wasn't the path that God had for me. It's the path I wanted.
Yeah, I've been on those paths where you have a desire in your heart, you want to move in a direction, and then you can't get clarity. And man, thank God for your obedience that you were able to make that decision.
You know, I've thought about it, and I think everybody that has one of those points in the road where you can go to the right or go to the left and you chose one way, I'm not going to tell you that there haven't been times I've wondered what would have happened and what my life would have looked like. But that's a fleeting thing when that happens, and I believe that's the way all of us it happens to everybody. It's not just those that are musicians that have this choice or that choice, but everybody in life really has a crossroads that we have to go on. And it's not helpful to look at the other direction, to turn your head and look back over your shoulder.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also a blessing just to know that the path you're on has been divinely inspired by God and He has a plan for us. And that's the good word today for all of us, is to know that God has a plan and He's working that plan out. That encourages me. I tell people every day, I had coffee with a guy this morning who works at Disney, and I was telling him, as he is seeking out God's will for his life, I said, you know, God's already in your tomorrow. He's just waiting for us to join Him. And our step of faith is sometimes what it takes to activate the plan of God in our lives. And because He wants us to move in a direction, many of us are just afraid to move.
Mm-hmm.
And when God shows us that plan, stepping in faith is how we activate the kingdom of God and see amazing things happen. And many times we say all the time, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And none of us, I remember the song by the Winans talking about morning radio, the song Tomorrow that the Winans had, and thinking about that song and understanding that our tomorrow is not promised, but today is. And God wants us to give everything we have in this moment, in this hour that we have, to see His plan bring back great fruit and great opportunity for people, including ourselves in our walk with Him. And so today is what we have.
You know, that's a very good word for everybody living in 2021. After the yesterdays of 2020 and all the things that we're still coming out of, we do need to keep our eyes right now, what God's doing right now, not get so overly consumed about when we get past this phase or that phase, but what is God calling us to do right now? And I like that. You're living in the now. You're living in the present.
Amen. It's what's promised to us is right now what we have.
So how did you get on down to Florida from Nashville then?
Well, that's interesting. I have two children. I have a 26-year-old son who went in the United States Air Force, and I have a daughter who's 22. Peyton, my daughter, is very musically talented. As a matter of fact, when I was trying to find a way to bond to my children, my son was in sports. I could do that. But looking at Peyton and her musical talent, she has always been musically gifted, and she was into musical theater in Nashville. And so I had had musical theater in high school growing up. And so I figured, hey, why not be a dad, roll up your sleeves, go to the community theater, audition, be a part. And so my first role was the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes. Silver and all. That was me. And it was.
If I only had a brain.
Exactly. What a great job.
Oh,
it was
my
such
gosh.
What a great show. And what I found was being in that show was just like in every opportunity in life. It gave me an opportunity to impact people around me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to wear a pastor tag. I could come into that community theater, be a dad of Peyton, build relationships with her friends, and at the same time share memories with her. Well, through that, Peyton launched a company out of a heart at age 13 to be with those kids who are going through cancer treatment at Vanderbilt University.
Come on.
So her best friend was Elizabeth Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, yeah. The Bill Golden.
Yep. And so Elizabeth came to Peyton and said, hey, I want to do something for the cancer kids too. What do you want to do? And they decided to open a Princess business where they would go to the hospital and encourage the children who were going through treatment for cancer. That exploded. They did it so well. Their hearts were so right in what they were doing that all of a sudden they were doing 6 and 7 parties a weekend. And all of a sudden Chick-fil-A, Barnes & Noble, corporate parties, the Tennessee Titans, the Nashville Predators got involved in what they were doing, where they were literally doing parties 8 and 9 a weekend. Today, that company is still going strong. And Peyton moved away from that when she graduated high school and looked at me and said, Dad, I want to go work for a mouse. And so she said, I want to come to work at Disney World. And I want to take the skills I have and I want to go down there and I want to be a part of that. And as a dad, I didn't want her to do that on her own. We had always felt as parents, our job as parents is to launch our children, to build strong platforms to launch them. And so Valerie and I have spent our entire married lives preparing platforms for our kids, that whatever their goals are, whatever their energy, whatever God's gifted them with, it's our goal to direct them. It's to resource them, whatever it takes to get them to that point. And so we had a farm in Nashville. We had 125 chickens. We had cows. Wow. We had the whole deal.
Yeah. That was a beautiful area to have all of that in.
Amazing. And it was, and it was a pastor in Nashville. It was therapy to me to go to my barn and be with my cows. They were just amazing animals to be with. We got rid of everything. We sold cows, chickens, furniture, and moved to Orlando, Florida.
Wow.
Believe it or not, I didn't know people lived here. I thought you flew on a plane, got on a bus, went to a happy place, and then went back home.
Yeah.
But here we were, and God orchestrated events for us to be in Orlando. And looking back now 4 years ago, we can see the hand of God in it. And it was told to me by an individual in Clermont not too long ago that God used my daughter to get me to Orlando because I would have never moved.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have done anything for my daughter. And so God used her heart and her desire to get me to a place to come here. And now I'm seeing what God's plans are unfolding in front of me.
Isn't that something? But it took just the heart to really launch your kid. And that ends up being not only her launch pad, but yours as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What kind of roles did she play at Disney?
Well, she actually wrote the theme song for Be Our Guest restaurant for them to open every day.
Wow.
And she is a joy, a light. Anyone who meets her, if I wasn't her father, the people who could stand behind me who meet Peyton see the light and joy in her mm-hmm. eyes. She is full of the love of Jesus, and she believes everybody deserves a hug that never ends. And so she would work on the park as the Be Our Guest restaurant hostess, mm-hmm. and then she would work outside the park for a company called Theme Park HD, where she would go around and shoot vlogs for all the parks here in Central Florida and communicate that to guests who were thinking about coming to Orlando, what those parks had to offer.
Man, she's a real ambassador.
She really is. She has a great way of communicating and a very talented way of doing it too.
And musically, what does she do now?
So she leads worship. So I was formerly on staff at Real Life, and she led worship there for the young adults. And then they moved her to the main stage where she would lead in worship. She's very, like I said, in love with Jesus. And it's very obvious when she sings, very obviously when she leads worship. It's not about performing for Peyton. It is truly about being in the presence of Christ and leading in worship. So now she and her beau, who she's dating, literally go all over Central Florida and lead worship. They attend Living Message Church in Clermont, and they lead worship there when they're in town, and then they go out on the weekends and lead worship. Hmm. She also teaches at a music school and teaches children from ages 5 up to 16, piano and voice, and uses that platform to help influence them and also encourage them.
That's an incredible story, my man. I love it. I'm talking today to Scott Chevalier. He's the Director of Strategic Development with the Hope Center. And if you haven't heard of the Hope Center, well, stick around. We're going to all learn together just the depth of this organization, the wonderful work that they're doing. And there is a huge event coming up that you're going to want to hear about. And it is all to honor veterans and first responders. The Hope Center, the Strategic Development Director, Scott Chevalier, is my guest. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing.
Scott Chevalier is my guest today from the Hope Center, and Scott is one of these guys. It's so interesting to me, first of all, to find somebody from the Midwest and Ohio being right neighborly with Indiana, and then his love for Nashville. Buddy, you've been a radio, you're a guitar player. Okay, so this is a cool time for me, man. I'm having a good time getting to know you a little bit. Now, you have a great story. You were just telling me a little bit about some of the country roots as we're looking to this big event that the Hope Center is. We will get to that in just a moment. It's coming up. But you had a real obvious connection with a lot of country music living in Nashville. And there was a particular time when you were a resident there, a big snowstorm, an ice storm happens. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So I'll never forget it because I was living there in Nashville in Madison, Tennessee, just by Opryland. And we don't get a lot of snow in Nashville, but we do get ice. And so we had a terrific ice storm. I mean, trees were down, power lines were down, and everybody was trying to figure out what to do. Didn't know when power was going to come back on. And so I remember coming out on our front porch, evaluating what was going on. And my neighbor happened to be the drummer and the road manager for George Jones. And George Jones being a staple of country music. And I knew this ahead of time because I talked to Bobby many times. But this particular day, I hear a beeping sound. And I look up into the front yard and I see a bus backing down Bobby's driveway. And I look on the side of the bus and it says, George Jones. So my heart started beating a little bit, and I kind of figured out what was going on. George was literally bringing his bus to Bobby's house so Bobby and his family could have a warm place to stay, thinking maybe just the driver was dropping the bus off. All of a sudden, off the bus comes himself, George Jones.
Uh-huh.
So he's standing 250 feet away from me across the yard. And he sees me standing on the front porch and just does the neighborly thing you see in Nashville, just throws his hand in the air and gives a wave to me. And, of course, I was just a little bit fluttery at that point. George Jones was there.
Your claim to fame.
Yes, absolutely.
Claim to country music royalty right there. That's funny. That's a great story. And the heart of so many of these country artists that are there, even those that may not, you may not know from the outside that they're believers, are still deeply believers in God and really want to see and give of themselves regularly to events and to needs and to charities. And they really are living it. And that's why I kind of like country music, man. I'm there.
Yep.
I'm there with you. So tell us about the Hope Center.
Well, the Hope Center is, it's very strategic. So our mission statement is unifying communities to make life-giving solutions accessible to everyday people. I like to break that down. So the first two words of our mission statement are probably the most important, and that's unifying communities. We do everything we can to break the silos. And what I mean by that is this group doing this thing, this group over here doing this thing. We collaborate. And so we try to bring everybody together and say, look, we can be stronger together. If we will come together, know what each other does, what our strengths are, build from that, we have much greater impact in the community. So we do that. We have partners, 16 pages of partners that we work with. And so it gives us a platform that's much larger than what we could offer inside the building at the Hope Center.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the Hope Center, we have four strategic stores, we like to call them. We like to think about it being a one-stop shop. So if you remember the day when you and I grew up, we had malls,
mm-hmm.
and the malls usually had anchor stores.
Mm-hmm.
That's similar to what we do. We look at our center and go, we have anchor stores. One is food provision, where last year during COVID, we fed 550,000 meals out of the Hope Center.
Hmm.
A second one is counseling. So we offer free counseling, and our counseling is anywhere from ages 10 up. And that counseling services last year, over 3,600 free counseling sessions, some in Zoom, some in person. Then we also have job placement. So we have a 323 staffing agency that's actually inside the Hope Center. So if you come in the Hope Center and you're coming for food, we know that's not the full story. And so we're going to find out through a relationship with you what really brought you here. And your tummy may be hungry, but there's more to the story. And we're going to find that out. If we find out you don't have a job or you're underemployed, we can help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have staffing folks on site who have jobs they can place you in right there at that point that you're here. And the fourth area, which we're really excited about, we have revamped a homeless, and I'm going to say this right, prevention program. So in other words, instead of us getting on the side of homelessness after it happens, we're actually trying to get in front of homelessness. Our executive director comes from the marketplace. And so when we looked at homelessness, we said, you know what? By the time someone's in a homeless situation, it can take 5 to 10 years to turn someone's situation around because it's a snowball effect of bad decisions, of bad effects after they're homeless. What if we got in front of that? What if we stepped in front of that and said, before you're evicted, before you're thrown out, what if we worked with you, worked with your landlord, your mortgage company, and we paid your mortgage, we paid your rent, and we put you through a program with a mentor to get you back on track so that you don't have to enter this snowball of bad decisions and bad effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very excited about our homeless prevention program, where we're actually meeting right now. Our number one client in that program is a single mom. And that's what we found out when we were looking at our prevention program. 70% of the people coming to us with an issue were women who were single and were saying, I don't have a husband at home to help me anymore. I have these children I can't leave to go get a job. If I leave my kids to go work, I'm going to lose my kids.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? And so it's been an amazing thing for us to launch a single moms program along with our homeless prevention program and put a mentor in the life of every mom.
And when you mentioned about bad decisions and kind of like the trail that leads and the snowball effect as it gets more apparent all along, ultimately going to end up kind of losing a house or are running out into foreclosure.
Yeah.
What are the things that some of these people, in your experience, what have they done that are qualifying as a bad decision?
Well, you know, the sad thing it's not just one thing. Sometimes they wake up and the decisions that they're making are based on, do I take care of my health care or do I take care of my rent? They may even know they have a health issue, a health concern, and don't want to go to a doctor because they can't afford it, for one. But if they do find out they have an issue, they're going to have to choose either take care of myself or pay the rent or pay the mortgage. And so they wake every day with that thought process. Mm. And so if they've not put together a plan in their lives of putting together a rainy day account, a savings account, something that they can fall back on, they find themselves literally living week to week, month to month. And if anything upsets that apple basket, then they're in a serious situation. And so they come into the Hope Center with really all the issues have taken place in that week, that day, maybe that morning, it all changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw during COVID, a great example of that is we saw employees that were furloughed who never thought they would come into a Hope Center needing assistance. And so one of our key aspects in the Hope Center is that you never walk in the Hope Center. You're never going to hear the word no. You're always going to hear us finding a solution to your issue. We're going to build a relationship. That's important to us. The relationship we have with you builds the bridge to the answer we're going to give you.
Now, that's a huge statement to say that you'll never hear a no. So there has to be some resources to back that up.
There is. It's not just ours. It's our partners. It's so amazing the people that we work with when we collaborate together to know that I have a solution for your issue. And if I don't, and I have story after story I could tell of people who came in with a unique set of circumstances that didn't come in last week. Mm-hmm. And it forces us every day, number one, to depend upon God and say, God, lead us. And we start every morning at the Hope Center with a group prayer where we're asking God to fill us with all the wisdom we need, all the direction, all the favor and resources that we need to meet the people who are going to come in the door that day.
Hmm.
We don't know. We don't know who's going to walk in with what, but we know who has the answer. And we know if we'll open ourselves up, collaborate with others, and not isolate away, we can be a great resource. And so we offer that up platform every day to the people who come in the Hope Center.
How long has the Hope Center been around?
So the Hope Center, with all of its different components, have been around many years. Our food pantry has been open for 12 years, but it used to operate through Real Life Christian Church in Claremont. The Hope Center, the way it stands today, under one roof, has only been open since June of last year.
Okay, a relatively new enterprise.
Very new.
Yeah, and how many people would park there every day, and that's where they go for their day?
We have probably 25 to 30 volunteers that come in the Hope Center every day to work with us,
mm-hmm.
who are the most amazing people who come in and give their lives away to meet other people. We have about 7 full-time employees that work so that we can give structure to what we're doing and continue the operation. So it's an amazing group of volunteers, really from all walks of our community, from all different faith bases, all different churches who want to come together and work together.
So when we talk about something that's making as major an impact in an area as what the Hope Center is, it's really being run by a very small full-time staff, but an army of volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have great people that we work with, and the volunteers who every day make it happen. I tell people when I give tours at the Hope Center, these are the real all-stars. These volunteers who come in every day to see a 65-year-old lady who's being a personal shopper with a mom who needs to find the right grocery list. It's amazing to see that personal shopper not just get the food for that mom, but build a relationship by writing down menus even. Mm-hmm. on a piece of paper.
Wow.
And handing them to them.
Now, you know, when you think about it, something that's just a year in its kind of its existence, the place where you are, the venue where you have the Hope Center, there's got to be a story behind that as well.
Amazing story. We're in a facility that used to be a gym, a fitness center that was vacant for over 7 years in Claremont. And as it sat there, we approached a gentleman who was investing in a new mall area that he was building out about this standalone building that was just on his property. And it was amazing to see how the pieces went together, how God really orchestrated not only the gentleman who was a Christian businessman, But when he heard the vision, his heart was moved, that he said, you know what, whatever it takes, let's make this happen in our community.
So when this thing, it's I can't imagine the kind of flow that there has to be resource-wise. So the existence of the Hope Center, the resource for paying your full-time people, getting the word out for donations, how does all of that happen?
Yeah, so we have lots of different, we would call them streams of support. We have our donor database, which is built up of individuals in the community. There, everybody can contribute $5, $10, $25 a month, whatever it might be, who come in and say, we believe in what you're doing and we want to be a part of that. We have families that do that, who make that a part of their monthly giving. We also have corporate donors who come alongside of us, and we call them corporate partners. Humana is one of those partners who invest in us every month. They believe in what we're doing, and they also bring a support to our seniors. So they give our veterans and our seniors all the resources they need for healthcare assistance right there in the center. So you can come in and go shopping. By the time you leave, you can get signed up for your benefits that you might not know you have. So we are looking for those all the time. We have Orlando Health that also is a corporate partner in the community. And then we have businesses in the community. I think of one that is an amazing story, a guy named Trey Del Greco, who runs Movement Mortgage in Clermont. And Movement Mortgage is a large company nationwide. And that office in Clermont caught the vision for what we were doing. And he came to me one afternoon. He said, I think I know how we can help. And as he began to describe how he wanted to help, I was amazed. He basically said, every transaction that we close, we're going to give a portion of that back to the Hope Center. And so he does. Every month, his company gives back a part of the transaction back to the Hope Center. And then now we are actually shooting a video story of every life change that happens at the Hope Center for his company to show the transaction that was made. Beyond that, his mothership company matched every dollar that Trey gave. And so now they are corporately sending a check to match everything they do on a local level.
Now, was this all a progressive vision, or did you or somebody who has this grand scheme vision, was it like birthed all at once, or is it something that unfolded over time?
So our support has been unfolding. It's been an ongoing part of my responsibility is to go in the community and share the vision, give folks an opportunity to see how they can connect to the vision. We believe there's two types of people in our communities. No matter what community you're in, there's one who has a need and they need to come in and find resources to help them get to the next season of life. But the other is the person who wants to meet a need. And so our job is to connect the two. How do we find a way to connect people who have something to offer to someone who looks for somebody in need? And so that's my job every day, is to go on just like this on this radio station to talk about what we're doing and how we can connect the two and find a pathway that works and find a process that works for them.
So you speak to businesses, you speak to churches.
Yeah, I'm in a church every weekend. I go to chamber meetings, Rotary meetings, Kiwanis meetings. Wherever there's a platform and I have a chance to share, I'm going to go share how we can be stronger together.
And, you know, it takes somebody with, I think, your personality to be able to mix it up with these people. You're talking about a diverse group here of businesses that are not necessarily going to be in the same relating pool as another group. And yet you've got to come and you're bringing all of these together. And that's what the Hope Center is. And I love the name. Was it ever called anything but Hope?
No, it really wasn't. It was called the Hope Center from the beginning. And I think that's what's so unique and peculiar about it is the fact that when people come in, they come in despair. And what's the opposite? It's hope. And so at the end of meeting someone at the Hope Center, that's why we say you'll never hear the word no. It's not that we want to say yes all the time. It's the fact that we know there is an answer. We know there is a solution. If we believe the word that says all things are possible, that means all things. We may not know it, but we know he does.
Yeah, I heard years ago one of the great definitions of hope was a constant expectation for good. That's really good. My guest today, Scott Chevalier from the Hope Center. And in a moment, you're going to get to hear all about the Tribute to Heroes. It's the big event that's going to benefit veterans and first responders, all sponsored by the Hope Center and the many fine partners around the community. That's coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. Back for one more segment with Scott Chevalier from the Hope Center. This has really been a fun and informative program so far. I really didn't know that much about this organization, heard of it, but now I'm getting a good understanding as to these four stores, four major outreaches to the community, and how they are doing it is nothing less than just a miracle of God to get this many people in a day. You know, there's another reason why I like your name so much is we're living in a time where a lot of people feel there's no hope.
Yeah.
You know, political division, strife and tension, racial tension. It's like at an all-time high right now. And if there's something we need, it's the gospel that really is the source of all of our hope.
Absolutely. I mean, I take very strongly the fact that it says in the Word, Christ in us is the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I get great hope personally from that, but I also want to be a carrier of that.
Mm.
I want people to be impacted by the gospel without me using words.
Mm.
I want them to see by my lifestyle something is different. Something gives me that hope every day. No matter what I see or hear in the news, someone is calling me to something bigger and better, and that's God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has a plan for our lives. And, you know, I read in the Word, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. That tells me right away, I may not know the plans, but He does.
And He has them.
He does.
Yeah.
I just have to trust Him.
We're not planless people here. There's a plan for our lives. And if we can just open our eyes to see that, it really does so many things. It gives you hope, number one. Number two, it gives you confidence that we're not going to be left alone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I really loved what you were talking about, living in the day today. And today we're talking about the 20th anniversary of a thing, Never Forget, for it's a big outreach that you guys are doing for basically veterans and first responders. It's a huge concert, and it's coming up, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we looked at the schedule last year, and we noticed this is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It's amazing how fast time went by. But the one thing I think that's in common for everybody is that even any of your listeners, if they were to ask the question, where were you on 9/11? They have the answer.
Yep, they know it.
We know where we were. We knew what we were, who we were with, what we were doing. And it made us as a country stop. I remember seeing the TV and watching people's faces, not just in New York, not just in D.C. or in Pennsylvania, but all across the nation as people would stare at their TVs almost in disbelief that this type of tragedy had happened on our soil.
Right.
I think about it in my history when I went to college and high school as our Pearl Harbor, our D-Day, a moment, a marker in history where we look back and say something changed on that date.
Yeah.
And today, kids who were not born 20 years ago, who didn't know what took place, they think it's normal to take your shoes off, your belt off at the airport when it's not. You and I both remember a day that you could go down to the gate and greet somebody who was coming to visit.
Yeah, can't do that anymore.
That's all gone.
Yeah.
So things changed in our country. So we wanted to do something to honor our first responders and our veterans. Obviously, with COVID, we saw what our first responders were up against last year. And so we believe it's time for us to pause as a nation, and regardless of political affiliation, regardless of what part of the country you live in, is to stop once again and say, we don't want to forget. We want to remember you, the sacrifice that was made and is being made every day for our freedom.
Mm, that's beautiful. And on 9/11 of this year, 2021, from 4 to 9 p.m., at a venue that I didn't know existed until today. The Apopka Amphitheater is going to be the place where this is going to happen. And you've got the following music artists, the country band that have a series of top chart hits. Low Cash will be there. An artist by the name of Donnie Lee, Randall Crawford from The Voice, Adam Cunningham, Brandon Bing, and Country Airwaves, another group. So there's going to be a lot going on.
There is. We're going to have, it's going to be a great family event. So we're going to have a family zone. We're going to have one thing that's very exciting. We hired an artist to come in who's going to be painting a wall that's 8 foot by 10 foot. And as he paints that wall during the concert, at the end, concert goers are going to be asked to go sign the Never Forget wall.
Mm.
And so it's going to be a rendition of what he feels is the portrayal of what Never Forget really means,
mm-hmm.
and how to honor our first responders and our veterans.
Mm. You know, when you think about that day and this whole thing of first responders, I think everyone appreciated first responders and what they do. I think of growing up firemen and mm-hmm. those people that come up in ambulances and see horrific, maybe never being able to forget the moment type of scenes at an accident. It's impossible to put a value on that. But 9/11 was a new high water mark for their role when you think about the people, the heroes that died on that day.
Yeah, you think about the visuals. We just got permission from the History Channel to use video clips from 9/11. And as I was going through those clips, it reminded me of everything I saw back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that stuck in my mind was the people who were running away from the World Trade Center, but all the first responders who were running to it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm reminded of a song by Steve Camp way back in the 80s called Run to the Battle.
Mm.
And that's really what they were doing in a time where people are fearful, and which is obviously what David did with Goliath. He ran right to the giant and God took him down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And boy, I tell you what, now we're running in America, we're running in a direction. I'm praying that America runs to God right now because we need God.
Absolutely. No other time do we need people in the church who claim the name of Jesus to stand up and be unified. As I said earlier, to live a life that is so distinct. I think that's what it means when it means you're a peculiar people,
mm-hmm.
that we're so distinct in the way we live. And it's not a living because we go to church. We're not an attender, but we have been impacted by a life-changing gospel that has impacted the direction of our lives. We have literally shifted directions. And now our lives, they count for something. And we want people to see the hope in our lives that we have every day. If we use words, we'll use them. But let our lives be that.
That's
good.
Let
it be contagious to people,
yeah.
So they see there's something different.
Live for Jesus. If necessary, use words. But otherwise, let your light shine in the way you live. Now, there's a couple of different pricing points. I understand that there's a covered area where people can go that day because the amphitheater, for the most part, it's an outdoor event, but there are covered areas, and
yep.
that seat is a little more than the others, but not much more.
No, we call it a low-dough ticket. So it basically, if you're under the covered seating area, it's $35 a ticket. If you're sitting in the grassy area, it's $25 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
We do offer a 20% discount to all veterans and first responders. And so we want them to be a part of that. So we are busy right now every day meeting with local chambers, local fire departments, police, VFW halls, letting everyone know this event is happening and it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make a statement in Central Florida that we are coming together, as I said, unifying communities to say we believe in our first responders and our veterans. And this is a moment where we're going to stop, pause, and say thank you.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, there's a point in this show that's going to happen that night that is a powerful moment. I don't want to give the surprise away, but every concert goer who comes that day is going to get an American flag. And there is a reason for that. Over 2,500 people lost their lives in New York that day. And every person that we can give a candle to that night will have that moment where we're going to commemorate the lives that were lost and just pause for a moment and pay respects to their lives, but also to those who went to be a part of the rescue operation that happened at 9/11. So there's a moment in this concert where one of the videos that the History Channel has given us is not something I saw on television. It is a powerful statement, and we're working with the band Low Cash to commemorate a song as a part of that video that will be a special moment that night.
Wow. This is exciting, man. I can't really wait to hear more about this as the time comes on, but it's going to be Saturday, September the 11th from 4 to 9 p.m. Tell us where this place is, the Apopka Amphitheater.
Yeah, so the Apopka Amphitheater in Apopka, Florida is in a place called Fame Park. And it is just a beautiful facility that's out there in Apopka. And we're just very blessed to be able to utilize this. It gives us all the space we need for parking, all the space we need for those who are coming. And I did want to mention, you can go to our website to find out information and get tickets. It's just cflhope.org/USA. So if they go to that site, they can get tickets and find out more information about the event. But yeah, the Apopka Amphitheater, it seats about 1,500 underneath the covered pavilion, and there's enough seating out there for almost 10,000 people.
And enough parking for all of that as well.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's really cool, and that's really an amazing thing that I didn't know that. But there it is, cflhope.org/USA. Tell us just a little bit about some of the amazing sponsors that you've got for this.
Yeah, so we're real excited. As I mentioned earlier, one of our corporate partners at the Hope Center is Humana. Humana has a representative at our site every day our food pantry is open. And so when we shared this vision that what we wanted to do, they got excited. They went to corporate and said, we want to get behind this. They became the presenting sponsor, stepped up to help us get this ball rolling. And since then, we've had Orlando Health join Humana. Advent Health has joined us. Duke Energy has joined us. Skech Management Group has joined us. Yesterday, the Apopka Chamber of Commerce has joined us. And it's rolling past that. So now we have other organizations that literally are being even joining our group and our effort today as I'm here.
Wow.
Who are saying, we want to be a part of this too.
Well, it's a great cause and it's a great need. And it looks like it's going to be a day of great fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Some really seriously good music, too.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've got some great ones there. And it's country music, friends. They've got food trucks that are planned that day, and people will get to meet some firefighters as well. It says meet 9/11 firefighters. So some that were actually at 9/11?
Yeah, that's exciting. That we actually partnered with the Apopka Fire Department. They have a 5K that morning, and we are having firefighters from New York City who survived coming to be with us. You may have heard of an organization called Tunnel to Towers.
Yes.
Who helped build homes for folks who lost their lives, families that lost their lives or have been disabled. They're going to be there. And so they're going to be able to tell their story in video. So before the concert even begins, you're going to see on the screens stories behind the stories that maybe people have forgotten that we need to remember once again. So it's going to be an exciting day to see us all come together. I try to encourage families to come because if you have a young person who wasn't born during 2001, what a great opportunity for them to be educated in the sacrifice that took place. So bring them, be a part of this event on 9/11.
Wow. Very exciting. Give us the website one more time.
Yes. Yeah, just real simple. cflhope.org/USA.
Well, you know, the Hope Center is going to be busy long past this event, but this is going to be a big major focus between now and September 11. And there's a lot going on. 20 years. And I like the expression that you've got on your poster. Never forget. That's something that I believe every American citizen needs to remember all that happened on that day. And we've just got to believe God for a wonderful, wonderful outpouring of people to come and support and to be a part and enjoy the day at the Apopka Amphitheater. And that is, of course, in Apopka on September 11th from 4 to 9 p.m. Scott, it's really been great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I've had a blast sharing the vision. Anytime God gives me an opportunity, I want to come share.
Well, it's wonderful. We'll have you back. And we want to hear next time you come about the Mobile Hope Center. So we'll talk about that next time. And friends, my guest today, Scott Chevalier from the Hope Center. Thank you, too, for being with us. And we'll see you the next time right here on The Shepherd.